As I go through what I have for this evening, perhaps you might remember it as we continue through it. For those that were here, take your black hymn books and turn to page 107. We're not going to sing this. In fact, we're done with the singing as far as actual singing songs. But we're going to look at some different songs this evening, as well as some other scripture. 107 is our first one that we're going to look at. The title of that song is, O Lord, Thy Love's Unbounded. I'll read the first verse. O Lord, Thy love's unbounded, so full, so vast, so free. Our thoughts are all confounded whenever we think of Thee. For us, Thou camest from heaven, for us to bleed and die, that purchased and forgiven we might ascend on high. And so there's a C word in there, and you might pick up the wrong one. There's actually two. What would be one of the C words that's in there that I'm looking for? Confounded would be the one that I was looking for. There's also another one in there, but for our purposes, His love unbounded, our thoughts are all confounded. And to think of this last particular song this morning, Tim wasn't here, but we had the thought of Him bringing us to heaven as His trophies. In this last verse of the last song that he sang, open my way that I may bring trophies of grace to Christ my King. And so the idea of what we can bring to Him after what He has done for us, and the whole process of our salvation confounds us. It's just an amazing thought. We've been thinking about that somewhat in the Bible study and appreciating that as far as a couple of the guys there. But again, as we sang this, you might, as I said, right, as we keep going on, I'm talking about was what we looked at and considered by the leading of the Spirit for our morning worship service on the 1st of January, the 1st of the new year. And so this was the first song we had at that time. The fact of His love being unbounded and the fact that it confounds us. The second C is also found in this song in verse 2. I'll read the second verse. But oh, the hope of being forever with the Lord, the joyful hope of seeing that face for us so marred. It fills our hearts with comfort, it fills our lips with praise, so that amidst our sorrow a joyful song we raise. Well, what would be the seed from that verse?
Comfort.
Comfort, right. So we have the idea of being confounded by His amazing love, but then we can have this tremendous comfort of heart to each and every one of us. Verse 3 I'll read and see what you find there. O Lamb of God, we thank Thee. We bless Thy holy name. Thy love once made Thee willing to bear our sin and shame. And now Thy love is waiting, Thy saints like Thee to raise. Firstborn of many brethren, to Thee be all the praise. So what would be the C in that one?
Coming.
It's coming, but it's not mentioned there, so it's implied. And so I took those as three nice things to think about, being confounded, first of all, of His tremendous comfort to us, and then of His coming back for us. So in relation to that, let's turn to, and you can hold your, put a marker there, in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 there. First Peter chapter 1 and just one verse right now, and that would be 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we didn't have this verse for that particular time, But in relation to what we have just referred to from this song, what would you say would be the thoughts I'm thinking of from this particular verse? What does that refer to? That I just mentioned here in the letters of C. It's comfort because of his coming back. We're comforted. And again, thinking about that whole process, that the fact that we're going to be with him is a tremendous comfort, and we're looking forward to his coming. And so I thought of this particular verse later on, but that's the first particular song that we had looked at. Going back to our song at verse 3 again, it has a little phrase in there. After a while, as we were in through during the different times of the meeting there, I had seen this later on. It's the phrase, "And now thy love is waiting." And I thought that was kind of really a nice way to put it. He's waiting to take and have everybody accept him, and taking, so he's not coming back until everybody is done. And yet his love is waiting, and it's not waiting, hurriedly or other thoughts that you might have, but it's in the love. And so he waits patiently for all to take and join him, those that are going to be saved, and then he'll have us return to him. So I thought that was an interesting way to put it. Number 50. Turn to page number 50 of the Black Hymn Book. Number 50. And the title of this is Father and God and Grateful Love. So if the first one was unbounded love, here it refers to the grateful love as the Spirit led different ones to take and continue on with the thought there of love. Verse 1. Father and God and grateful love, we bow before thy face, while for thy gift unspeakable, our souls overflow with praise. Thine only Son, thy heart's delight, far back ere time began, thou in boundless love didst give to die for ruined man. So it goes along with the first song about unbounded love in the latter part of the first verse there. Thou in thy boundless love didst give. But then it also talks about the gift of being unspeakable. In that same verse, while for thy gift unspeakable, our souls overflow with praise. Somebody can take and look up and read for me, or unless you can know it from memory, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9. Okay, thank you. And so it goes along with this idea, as we were singing this, I was thinking of that particular verse that morning, for the gift unspeakable, it truly is a gift that's really that we can be thankful for. Again, thinking about the fact of how that confounds our thinking, we can be amazed at what he has done for us again, and again, consider his comfort for us. Going back to Peter, and this time chapter 1 and verse 8, thinking about the love again that we've been in mentioning in the two songs, whom, having not seen, you love. Okay. So we'll just stop there. And Peter just talks about whom he having not seen. So different ones that, you know, like us, that knew that he knew that he had seen them. And, that, you know, they were witness to that. But there's others before the disciples, before that, during the law time of the whole Old Testament. There's those that were going to live afterwards that wouldn't be able to see him. But yet, realizing through the help of the Holy Spirit, that they would also love him, even though they had not seen him. So, a boundless love, a love that's unbounded, and a gift that's unspeakable, really can be a blessing to us. Just turn back to 107, just for 1 second, again, the song 107. Verse 3 again, I'll just read of that. O Lamb of God, we thank thee, we bless thy holy name. Thy love once made thee willing to bear our sin and shame, and now thy love is waiting. I already referred to that back about our love is waiting. But now the emphasis would be on the other part. Thy love once made thee willing. And so in that same verse, there are these two different aspects, his willing love and his waiting love. And so with that, perhaps in mind with somebody, let's turn to Psalms 88, because that was our next portion of Scripture that was made reference to. Psalms 88. Verse 1, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near unto Sheol. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free from the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hands. And it was continuing on to read a few other verses that were in that portion. But the thought was that if we're dead, there's nothing that, you know, we can respond to when we're dead. But the thought is that while we're still alive, we can take and praise him. And so the title over this is Lament Over Afflictions. But being alive, we can be thankful that even though there may be afflictions, we can rejoice as it continued on with 89 and verse 1 and 2. I will sing of thy mercy, of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. And so while there was the anguish and the agony over afflictions, the rejoicing is the Lord is the one that we can turn to. And again, comfort, again, realizing his coming, but yet still maybe in amazement of how he takes and provides as he does. Back to our portion in Peter. Again, 1 Peter 1. And again, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, having begotten us again unto a life, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so in relation to what we just had, what would be the important part now that they can think of out of that verse? Okay, that's an important point, but that's not what we're looking for from the Psalms that we just had then read from. Psalms 89. It talked about what two qualities?
Abundant mercy.
Yep, abundant mercy and faithfulness. And so in this part of it this time, just to consider who, according to his abundant mercy. And then further in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So it talks about abundant mercy here and faith. So as we go on here, you realize that we didn't even talk about Peter at all that day, or maybe you will, I don't know, but it was something that later on it happened to occur to me that as we were getting these different things, that Peter's messages have really come into a lot of different ways of what we were talking about. And so while I didn't share that with you, I'm trying to share that at this point because I've enjoyed thinking about Peter in relation to what we had for that day on that morning. We talked about, again, his love and about him as a person. Turn to the black hymnal again to number 78 for this time for another song that we had. Number 78. This is a song we sing many times as well, too. Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but better far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. So again, the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ confounding us, of his love for us, and of his coming back again. I'm thinking particularly of verse 3. O hope of every contrary heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. So this person not only continues to love us, but provide us a hope, O hope of every contrary heart. And that love continues to be expressed. In verse 4, it goes on to say, but what to those who find this no tongue nor pen can show, the love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. Thinking about that, in 1 Peter, again, a verse that we've already read, again, 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, you love, and whom though now not seeing him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The fact of, I mentioned about the fact when we're talking unspeakable, it's mentioned here with joy unspeakable, and so that could be put in with this unspeakable gift, and that could, so this portion here could be applied to that as well, this unspeakable gift. But again, whom having not seen you love, and as you wait for him, we realize that they're going to receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So as we continue to think on him, O hope of every contrary heart, this is the comfort that he can provide that nothing else can and will do so. We continue on with Ephesians chapter 3, and we're not going to turn to that, but it talks about the fact of his unbounded love in that portion of Scripture. So it goes along. You can look that up. There's some great verses in there. Again, referring to the fact of the love that we were talking about that morning. Number 66 in your regular, in your maroon book. We'll go to that for a moment. Number 66. And we only sang just the first and the last verses of this. I am his and he is mine. Again, thinking about the love that confounds us, that comforts us, and we realize it's coming back, that once we're saved, we're part of his family, loved with an everlasting love, led by grace that loves to know. And then the last verse, his forever, only his, who the Lord and me shall part. So the idea of an everlasting love, and the fact also that our salvation will never part us, despite what may come. And so a tremendous thought again of unbounded love. And again, 1 Peter 7, 1 and verse 7 and 8, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, and though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. And so the idea of if we belong to him, that whatever we go through, we can depend on him to take and take care of it and be concerned to help us through those different trials. The fact of also, the latter part of that verse of verse 7, to the praise, to the honor, and to the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He will return. Even as we're considering about his coming back, he will come back. And as he waits on his love to be completed, then he will show up again and will appear. Turning now in Scripture to, you can leave your finger still here, but to Proverbs chapter 8, for another portion of Scripture that we considered on that morning. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 20. I led in the way of righteousness in the midst of paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. A portion of Scripture talks about wisdom, but also you can think about the Lord Jesus Christ and wisdom being one and the same. But I did appreciate, I led in the way of righteousness. And many times as we look for direction and comfort, realizing that the world leads us in all kinds of different directions, the way of righteousness is the best way to go. Also appreciated, especially verse 21, that I might cause those who love me to inherit substance, and I will fill the treasures. I would think at this point that I was starting to think more of Peter before than perhaps before, and as the more I thought of Peter and the things that we were talking about, I was just thinking about how all those different scriptures like summarize all the different thoughts that we were thinking about. So with that thought of what it says in verse 21, what would be our portion of scripture in Peter? Yeah, okay. That's correct. 1 Peter in verse 4. I'll read. Verse 4 of 1 Peter 1, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And so I thought that one fit nicely with this portion of Scripture, that we will inherit substance, and I will fill the treasuries. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. They went on to verse 30 and 31. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delight was with the sons of men, perhaps thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how his delight was with mankind. And then also the idea of wisdom is tied into that as well too. But was thinking of that, they were thinking of that particular song, I am his and he is mine, as they were thinking about these two verses here. And the third part was of verse 17. That says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. Again, the portion from Peter. One of the verses could be not only the verse 4 that we talked about, but again, those that love him that have not seen him, which would be verse 8, again, of Peter. I love those who love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. So some good verses from Proverbs to think about what we thought as far as that particular morning. Turn now to Psalms chapter 5 for some more verses from Psalms here. Verse 11, Psalms 5 and verse 11. But let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. And let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let those also who love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. The thought was, again, trusting in him, bringing about rejoicing, and again, realizing his love for us and what he has done for us, can do that by trusting in and rejoicing in him. Then there's also the thought of those who love his name to be joyful in that, be joyful in him. And it goes on, it ties in with other verses that were given here about his name, and just finish with verse 12 there. But for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. And so even again, as we refer to in Proverbs about the righteous, again here it refers to the righteous. There is a way of right and wrong, and certainly the Lord wants us to be in the right way and not the wrong way. By trusting in him to rejoice, that's also something that he would enjoy. Psalms chapter, you hold your finger there a minute just to see back. Psalm chapter 9, was where we looked at next, Psalm chapter 9 and verse 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they who know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee. And so again, the idea of just as we had in this other one here about those who love thy name was pointed out. And here again, those who know thy name. And as a result of knowing thy name, not only can we trust in him, but it's a refuge that we can depend upon for sure. Then also compared to Psalm 91. Starting at verse 1 of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence. And so again, the idea of being a refuge, but then also verse 14 and 15. Because He hath set His love upon me, as we were thinking about the idea of love, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. So the idea of not only can we know his name, but then he knows our name as well was pointed out. And I thought that was a great thing to think about as we think about this idea of his love. And his love being unbounded, and how he cares for us. He knows our name, even as was mentioned again this morning. He knows us by name. He cares for us, and he's the refuge. And so out of that relationship, it's again a relationship that can really confound us, but we can be really thankful for it. From Peter, again, the fact of his love, knowing the person out of love that we've never seen. And then also those that are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. That would be 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. So again, the idea of the refuge would be tied in with the idea of who are kept by the power of God through faith. And so again, to me, Peter was a nice summary of all that we had talked about thus far. And it was really kind of a blessing to me to take and see how that was fitting together. Perhaps you were there and remembered the fact of also somebody, one of the brethren, talked about the Lord Jesus Christ's death after that, at that point, I would say, and what that death really meant, how important that death really was, and what took place. And the idea that it was sort of like with man crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, for man's point of view, it's business as usual, as was pointed out, and it was God that was really the one that caused him to take and die on the cross. They were just doing whatever God would, through God's fulfillment of having his death take place. And so the idea of how important his death was and what it really entails. And again, we've been thinking again a little bit about that in the Bible study again. Realizing again in the future here of the destruction that's going to take place and how awful it's going to be. And how thankful that we are that we're not into that tribulation period. We're going to be taken out of that period. And for those that are left behind, not knowing their God as their Savior, really a horrible, horrible thing. If they think there's bad things now, we've been considering it's really going to be bad at that time. So then the idea of not only what does his death mean, but to me, what does his resurrection mean? Let's go, if you're out of 1 Peter, let's just go back to Peter, just to again read these verses to you. What does his resurrection mean? And it starts at the end of verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here it refers to what Jim was referring to as the living hope and the resurrection. Again, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So the resurrection means those two things, and then it also means in verse 9, that receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, it's going to take place, and we're waiting for that to take place and happen. And so his death means a tremendous amount of things, his burial, but then also his resurrection completes the picture. And Peter gives a window that summarizes all the different things that we were considering on that particular morning. And so I'd like to just take and read this again portion, starting at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the sojourners scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. In this ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, and though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so towards the end of the session, I was thinking, as I said, that this portion of Scripture very nicely summarized all the different thoughts that we had that particular morning. And I thought I would like at some point to take and share, so I've had this opportunity to take and do that for this evening. And I trust that you might have been gleaned again from the blessings that I received from the worship time. As we've had that time week after week, and it's really been a blessing to myself and as well as many other people. We went on to take and say that before the service ended about how is it obtained, this resurrection, I mean this place of salvation. And again, it was mentioned from John chapter 3, verses 14 to 18, for God so loved the world, that section in there. And then the song was given of Amazing Grace, and we sang that as well, too. I'm sure you realize how much and what those words are. And again, what's amazing to me, as I've said oftentimes before, that many people know that song and yet are never saved, and they really like the song, and it's hard to, again, to realize how that can be, you know. They can sing that and enjoy it and yet not think about their salvation with regards to that work that he did. How was it obtained? As to finish up, this wasn't part of it, but in Peter, and we'll go to verse 17 of chapter 1. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so our salvation was provided not by something that we could work for, not by something that we can buy, not by our own ideas. It was all by him and him alone. And as a result of his unbounded love, we can return some love to him. And we try to do that not only at worship time, but each time, each day that we have. I trust that you might enjoy his word again this week as you go forth, and just thank him for what he's done for you. Again, Heavenly Father, we would just pause and again thank you for your word that's been given in this country that we have so freely. We just pray that you'd help people to read it, also to understand it, and then also to take and apply it. We thank you for what Peter, who was convicted to take and follow after you and had many ups and downs, we thank you for his life and his testimony and his words that were recorded by the help of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for what you've given to us through him in this first chapter of our salvation into resurrection and eternal life. We realize that you watch over us and keep us. We thank you for the refuge that we can find in you. We pray that we might avail ourselves when we need to. And we just thank you for all that you've done for us again this day. We ask this in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just, I also might say that Gail did get home this afternoon, so she was able to come.